Only God is able to take a terrible situation and bring healing. Today on Revival for Mission, we will look at what God has done in a tragic situation in Rwanda to open a river of healing to bless that nation. We'll also hear the testimony of a grandmother whose family experienced terrible tragedy but chose healing rather than hatred. This and much more on Revival for Mission. I can still remember standing beside that massive grave site in Kigali. 250,000 people were buried there during the time of the genocide. But today, God is opening a river of healing and blessing in the great country of Rwanda. Pastor Wilson, I know you've been to Rwanda many times. You were well acquainted with the tragedy there. But there's some blessings of people coming to Christ and healing ministry happening. Share with us what God's doing in Rwanda.
Well, God is moving in a marvelous way in that small but important country in Central Africa. God is bringing restoration to people's lives, bringing forgiveness, bringing an understanding that there is a new beginning. Evangelistic and spiritual outreach meetings have taken place and continue to take place. And what a powerful witness it is to see a changed life and people becoming closer to the Lord and to each other because of it. There's also a marvelous new development, and that is the establishment of a medical school in Kigali, in Rwanda, that will not only serve Rwanda, but certainly serve many other countries in the region in order to prepare young men and women to serve as Jesus did, as a healer.
A medical missionary.
A medical missionary, someone who touches people's lives. Now, they don't do the healing, but they participate in God's healing power to be able to restore lives. And a lot of that has to do with compassion. And you've got to have this relationship with the Lord in order to have that wonderful, compassionate feeling that Christ did for other people. You know, in the book of Matthew in chapter 9, it says that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So it's the same with us. When we see these millions of people around the world in different places, wherever you happen to be, the Lord wants to just place within your heart this compassion for people. And that's what helps to bring the healing. It helps to bring the restoration and the restoring power that can change the most miserable situation into something beautiful.
Now, I know that one of the things many people know about the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a commitment to a healing ministry, to extend the healing ministry of Jesus. So there are countless hospitals, I think now 7 medical schools around the world. Where does that commitment to the healing ministry come from?
Well, it comes directly from the ministry of Jesus. And we know that Jesus spent more time healing than he did preaching. So healing and teaching people in a practical way is to be a great manner in which we fulfill the very ministry of Jesus. And that's where this special medical missionary outreach or comprehensive health ministry is rooted. It's rooted in the very ministry that Jesus performed himself, because he touched people where they were hurting. And I think that's a very important model for us to follow, not on our own, but all through his power. For he's still living and he's still the master physician, and he wants to work through every one of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking right after Matthew 9 about compassion. In Matthew 10, he says, go out, heal the sick, cast out the demons, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. So it's a very holistic mission that he's called us to.
It is a very practical mission. The mission of Christ in Revival for Mission is not to be some ethereal kind of fairy tale approach to telling people things that aren't going to really help them. Jesus spent time helping people in a very practical manner so that Christianity becomes a practical religion, not just a form or a custom. And that, I think, is one of the most important things for each of us to remember as we're connected to the Lord. We need to be practical, not only in our outreach to people, but also in the way that our spiritual experience affects our own lives.
And I'm looking forward later in the program to the testimony of Ruth DePaiva, who really allowed the blessing, the healing of Jesus to flow through her, even in a very difficult situation.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking with Dr. Ann Hamill and also Melissa DePaiva Gibson about the unbelievable, almost unbelievable situations that they were in, tragedies, difficult situations. Dr. Hamill is now a psychologist and is working with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, helping missionaries in their particular settings. But today we also have a wonderful guest with us, and this is Dr. Ruth DePaiva. Ruth, it's just wonderful to have you here. You're the grandmother of Melissa, and you have such an integral part in this entire story. You were the first one to arrive in Palau after this terrible tragedy that took place, and you experienced what the trauma was all about, and you even visited a prison. And I'm wondering if you can just share with us what happened.
Well, answering the first question, I would say that it took me like 24 hours of flight to get to Palau. When I started my trip, I did not know which child was the one that was alive. But I knew from the general conference, the news went to Monte Morelos, where I was preparing to go to Sudan to meet my husband that was there.
So you were in Mexico then, in Monte Morelos?
I was still in Mexico, mm-hmm. finishing the school year. And so I asked people to buy me a ticket when I heard the message, because they said, there's one child that is alive. And my son asked me to go to the office to give me the news. And when I received the news, I really thought, he said, I have bad news. And then I thought that bad news is my husband, because in Sudan I thought, well, situation there is not good, but Palau is a Pacific island. I would never think that that was from Palau. And then says that Ruimar, Margaret, and one child have been killed. And I say, well, that's not possible. He's a Pacific person. He's not a fighting person. What would happen? So, but I said, please find me a ticket. I am going to go right away. So they thought, this is impossible. And, you know, in a few minutes, the whole university knew about it. Mm. So they came to comfort, to even encourage me to not go right away, to wait a little bit so one son could accompany me. But they said, no, I have to go now. I met with the people from the island, Sarangos Jr., the son of the senator, Mr. Seringo Sr., and I say, can you find a way to have an appointment at the prison? Because I would like to go there. Then the pastors that came from Guam to help me to, you know, comfort and help and everything, give support, they were around. And then we met together, and then they said, yes, we have an appointment to see Justin, the murderer, in the prison. And pastors were trying to really persuade me not to go. I was by myself. My husband had not come yet. My two sons that came, that were Emerson and Hernan, were not there yet. So I was by myself.
And something impressed you, but God impressed you to go to prison.
We walked to the prison, walking. And I tell you, Pastor, I didn't feel my feet on the ground.
My.
I was kind of like floating over there. We have to go to prison. And they were persuading me, are you sure? Are you sure you want to go there?
Mm.
And I said, yes. So they did not know what I was going to do. Neither I knew. I didn't know what I was going to. I said, I want to go there. But in the back of my mind, I wanted to see if a person that is able to do such a crime would show in the face that if I encounter on the street and say, this is a bad person. This is the only thing that maybe crossed to my mind. But then, when we got to prison, wrote our names, and they took us to the last cell, very, very, you know, away from the others. And then Pastor Nobu started. He was the senior pastor with us. And he says, Justin, I want to introduce to you the mother of Pastor DePaiva. He just looked at me like the eyes crossed and looked at me and put the head down again. And then silence. And then Pastor Nobu goes with the second question. He says, Justin, why did you do this to the DePaiva's family? And he said the same thing he said to the media. Well, to steal the television and the VCR. I don't know if VCR is still around. I don't think so. Those cassettes, big cassettes that they recorded. And to go to Los Angeles. And at that moment, Pastor, and I cannot explain how, but an insight came to me, to my mind, and I interrupted that conversation. And I say, well, it was a little stop in between the question and the answer. And then I say, from my point of view, I was directing to him. From my point of view, you didn't go there to steal anything. In fact, you didn't steal absolutely anything. But you went there just to, I think that, I don't remember the word I used, but like to ruin my granddaughter, something like that, to take my granddaughter to your house. I didn't say that. I did not know the story very well, but say, I think he went there for another reason, not to steal. And then I went ahead and I said, your mind is very ill. But if you give your mind to the Lord, he can heal you.
Amen. Amen.
You have a very sick mind. But if you give it to the Lord, he is going to be able to, you know, heal you. And then I said, your name is Justin and comes from the root of justice.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, God is going to make justice to you and also your country. But one day maybe we can see you in heaven together with my son.
Amen.
Well, and then I say, we forgive you.
Mm.
I don't know when I said we or I, but I said, we forgive her. I forgive you. And then we left. Nothing else to say. And I believe that nobody that was with me, pastors, and they did not understand what I said. Because neither I understood what I said. But it came like the Holy Spirit tells you, you say, you deliver that message. We went back. No word. Nobody asked why I did said that. I come home, Melissa was getting up, and she was already playing with the kids over there, the two girls. And my family came, my two sons came and my husband came the days after. And on the news was that the mother of the pastor forgave the criminal. I didn't even read the newspapers. I knew what was going on the media, but I say, what did I do? I didn't do anything. But and by the way, I didn't feel that I did anything. It was kind of delivering what the Holy Spirit is impressing you.
Amen. What a story of forgiveness. And this only originates from the throne room of heaven. It doesn't come from our own hearts.
Absolutely
not. Thank you so much, Ruth, for sharing that. Now, Anne, you were sent by the church mm-hmm. to Palau to help support and encourage the family and the situation. And you attended the funeral mm-hmm. of the two adults and the little son.
Yes.
What was that like? And what happened?
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. I mean, how many of us have ever been to a funeral with three caskets? And I remember, you know, it was such an impactful event for the community, and they had it in a large stadium there. And I remember as Ruth and her husband Itamar, her sons Hernan and Emerson, and Melissa walked in. They came to the front. The president of Palau was there. He made a public apology for what had happened on the island. The queen of Palau is a member of her son's church. She sat on the floor with the church members. And then I experienced the most powerful manifestation of God's Spirit that I ever have that day. Ruth had stood up to respond to the president, and her heart was touched as she watched the mother of Justin weeping. She invited the woman to come forward, and Ruth put her arm around her, and she said to the group there, the large crowd of people, she said, "Please don't hold the sin of Justin against this woman or her family." She said, "We're both mothers grieving the loss of a son today." She said, "As mothers, we do the best we can. We teach our sons right from wrong. But as adults, they make their own choices." Such a powerful moment. It was quiet. Everybody sensed the presence of God there that moment. And Ruth said, "My family and I forgive Justin for what he's done. We leave him to the justice of his country."
Ruth, thank you, Anne, so much. Ruth, this is an unbelievable story. It deserves taking 2 or 3 hours to tell. I know that. But in closing, would you tell someone who is watching today how that power of forgiveness can come into their own hearts? And what would you tell someone who's struggling with the challenge of forgiving someone who has hurt them deeply?
Well, Pastor, as I have repeated to so many times and many people, I believe that forgiveness is a gift of God.
Amen.
And it's divine. It's not human. As humans, we don't have that capacity, maybe nowadays, to forgive people easily. Our human nature doesn't forgive easily. But I also learned that forgiveness is a choice. Mm-hmm. You decide to forgive.
Yes.
You decide to forgive, and then you forgive. Not because the person deserves. Because if the person deserved, we don't have to forgive. Mm-hmm. He deserves it. But the person doesn't deserve, and we forgive because we made that choice, but not that comes from us. It comes from the divine spirit that comes in us, and we decide with God. And Jesus Christ said, don't keep grudges. Don't keep resentments. Don't think about revenge. That's what we think as human. I'm going to revenge. And I used to say that when you say that, it's like you are drinking the poison, the venom, for the other person to die. That's your desire. However, we should understand that forgiveness is to make us free. We are prisoners when we keep resentments and also our body, we know from many studies, our body can generate chemicals that are very bad for our health. So many people sometimes, and I include myself, maybe we have arthritis, ulcers in the stomach, and so many other diseases. Lately, they have said that even cancer can be a precursor of the resentments or suppressed anger. So if we can liberate ourselves, but we cannot, so we ask Jesus Christ to help us. Because he died on the cross exactly to free us from all that. And he says, don't revenge. He says to the Israelites in the old times, the revenge is mine. So, and I will take care of it. Just be free of it. Because we should live a nice life. Happy days when we don't carry that baggage of resentment, anger, hatred, and all the things that we are not depressed, so we can live. I think that we should live a beautiful life. This is what the Lord provided.
What a beautiful testimony to give these challenges into the hands of God. Thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you, Anne. And friends, we'll be right back, and we'll be talking with Ruth and Anne and Melissa. Past three episodes, we have focused upon how God has really worked in very dramatic situations, with the situation in Rwanda and Dr. Anne Hamill, and of course, Melissa's situation in the island of Palau and her grandmother in such a powerful way, how God helped Ruth to work into a situation where forgiveness was so central. Thank you to each of you for being with us. Maybe in summary, as you look back on your own experiences, can you tell us in just a few words what it is that you'd like to share with those who are watching today? Melissa, let's start with you.
I think in summary of everything that's happened in my life and what I see that's happening around the world is you really have to look at the big picture. And us in our finite life, we can't see the big picture. And we sometimes put God in a little box and say, no, that's not possible. How could God do this? But really, we don't see the big picture. And it's like we're seeing a pixel from a whole image. And when we remember that, and again, in the light of the great controversy, things start to kind of take place. And I imagine being in heaven, and then God's going to be like, I was anxious this whole time to tell you why all of this happened to you and how everything happened. And he's going to be more anxious to tell us than we really are going to be to ask him.
Beautiful, beautiful experience and response. And that great controversy is going to be ended, and God will be able to explain everything to us, and he will show us how he has watched over us. Dr. DePaiva, Ruth, tell us what you'd like to share with people out of your experience.
Well, I think that I learned myself to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When Amen. He gives you insight, you can be an instrument for God to use you like any normal, simple, ordinary people. You can serve the Lord. Just paying attention for the details that the Lord gives you in your mind, insights that come, and you transmit it. And like we see in the book of James, that we are told that we should forgive one another, pray for one another for healing and you are going to be healed. So I think that in the time we are living, we have so many things that if we forgive, we are going to have a better life. We're going to be happier, we're going to be healthier, and we are going to enjoy life and also glorify the Lord.
Beautiful response. So healing can take place as we place ourselves in God's hands and keep looking to Him and see the big picture. And Anne, what a exciting opportunity you have to help so many people. Mm-hmm. And you've been involved so heavily with Ruth and Melissa. Tell us from your experience, what would you have people really understand and take away from what you've experienced?
I think probably the most important thing for me is that I've come to understand the texts of Scripture that say that we should rejoice that we're able to participate in the sufferings of Christ. I don't think I could have understood that without going through my own suffering. But truly, Jesus has blessings and gifts for us in our suffering. And rather than try to escape it, He invites us to embrace it. He has led the way. He invites us to take up our cross and follow Him. And there are gifts in following.
What a beautiful testimony. God provides the hope.
Yes.
And the gifts that will get us through whatever we face.
Absolutely.
I truly want to thank you, Melissa, your grandmother, Ruth, and Anne. Thank you all for what you have contributed and how God has not only helped you, but He's working through you to help others. What a hope we have. Friends, what a story we've heard today on revival for mission. How encouraging it is to know that God is able to walk with us through tragedy and bring us out stronger and full of hope. Today, you may also be facing a tragedy, sorrow, trials. I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus. He sees you. He cares about you. He will see you through. As we close our time together, let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that whatever we may be passing through, that we will look to you and hold your hand and recognize that you are there for us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for our lives, that you will not leave us rudderless, simply wandering in life without a focus, but that you will guide us and protect us. Now, Lord, be with each one that is viewing and hearing this prayer, and may you come close to them in a powerful way, leading them to victory and to ultimate hope in you. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time right here on Revival for Mission.